Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
McFarland. All right, McFarland Energy. Thank you for bringing all of our close personal friends together to talk about the great game of baseball. Once again, the Who Says New crew. Who Says No crew? Who Says New? It's late. It shouldn't be late. I should be on West Coast time, guys, fellas. But I'm not.
When'd you get back?
Well, that's the problem, is that you go from the problem of the time difference, and then you go for the problem of the red-eye flight, which lingers for approximately 3 days. So,
and then you mix in a nice long baseball game in what is the pitch clock era.
It is. This had to have been a record. I know it's the longest Red Sox game of the year. Had to have been maybe the longest game of the year, right?
What was the official length on that?
I don't know.
It was two.
Had to be
3:25. There's only a way to look that up. All right. So, where do you guys want to start? We were just talking, Coop, Gordo, and I talking about the Jaren Duran All-Star campaign. Very exciting.
Is it still running hot?
Is it full swing?
What's the campaign headquarters? What's the room temperature check right now? How are you guys feeling?
Well, the campaign strategy, Coop, when this whole ordeal began, was whenever Jaren Duran does something good, we promote the cause, right?
Yep,
that's the whole idea of the campaign. Yep. Right? Exactly. The issue is that as soon as the campaign began, Jaren Duran never did anything good again. So we're still on standby.
That tends to be an issue.
Voting has not started yet, so a hot streak could begin the day voting starts, which, as Rob pointed out on Twitter today, is tomorrow, which by the time people are listening to this will be today.
Just a mere matter of hours before you, assuming he's on the ballot, which is another issue, you can vote for Jaren Duran to get not only him to the All-Star game in Seattle, but get Gordo to the All-Star game in Seattle.
He should be on the ballot, should he not? I mean, he's played enough games to qualify.
You would think so, but sometimes
they only get to pick three outfielders. Like, if they put him on, Duvall's not on. Do they submit that before the season?
There's a good chance he'll be on. I mean, he's coming back.
That's true.
So
he's going to be playing during the voting. He'll be playing.
Gordon, I hate to burst your bubble. Jaren Duran is not getting voted to the All-Star game, but that doesn't mean he's not going to the All-Star game. And I will say this. I did the math, I want to say like a week and a half ago, that suggested that it was going to be 2.5 weeks before Jaren Duran's number actually qualified, which you have to get to that point, right? So I think he's only like a week away from qualifying. So once you do that, that's first step. It's sort of like the primaries. Like, Coop, you can associate with this.
Yep, I fully understand this.
This is like Iowa. We're in Iowa.
First past the post.
It's a caucus.
Yes.
So there you go.
We're caucusing right now. That's what's going on. We're all just running in different corners of a gymnasium in, small town Iowa.
Kind of. I mean, this is how the Jaren Duran, the path. Like they say, do you see a path to Jaren Duran making the All-Star team? And this is the path that we see. You have to start with a caucus.
I have a question for you. So the fans only vote for the starters. After that, it's the manager picks the pitchers, and then what is it? Is it the players and the coaches vote for the reserves, or is it just the coaches?
No, no. I think it's the players also.
All right, so we may need to get this campaign into the locker rooms.
You know, I don't think there's any question, unless there's some random, like Kansas City was crazy with their votes a couple of years ago. I think Toronto might have been crazy with their
Kansas
votes.
Kansas City is always crazy. Toronto has an entire country behind them.
Like, yeah, it's unfair. So you have Trout's going to be voted in. Judge is going to be voted in. And I thought that Julio Rodriguez would be voted in. But, you know, that's where the wild – because he's not right now – he's getting a little hot. But right now, he's not – wouldn't be classified as an all-star with his production. So you have Arozarena. He's definitely going to be in. Kelnick's up there.
Yordan Alvarez is in there. Has he been DHing mostly?
Hayes of Baltimore is there. And then you have – the guys for the Red Sox, Yoshida and Verdugo sitting there. So, and let's, like I said, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's just take one step at a time. But I did figure this was a good time to bring this up, considering when this podcast drops, it will basically be at the exact same time or right around the same time that voting begins. And all of a sudden, everyone will wonder, like, why Jaron Duran gets this a huge bump if he's on the ballot. Why did he get this huge bump? Well, it was because of this podcast.
It was because of the Who Says No.
Science.
Specifically Gordo.
Exactly. Don't give up hope.
I'm not giving up hope. I think that there is a chance that as long as he's on the ballot, all he has to do is have a few good games in the month of June, and that gets the ball rolling. All it takes is a little bit of juice, and we got a movement.
All you need is a little bit of juice.
All you need a little juice.
Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, Gordo.
I don't think Jaron Duran needs that kind of juice. He might be strong enough.
All right, so let's talk Red Sox. As we sat here after this 8-hour game, you had a comeback. The gritty, gutty, resilient Red Sox fall run short.
3 hours, 12 minutes, by the way. Sorry to cut you off there.
Oh, no. 3 hours and 12 minutes. That's not in the longest.
That's it?
But isn't that weird, guys, though, that a 3 hour and 12 minute game feels like 8 hours now?
Yeah.
It's all just perception.
I love it. That's how it should be.
We would have 3 hour, 12 minutes last year. That's nothing. For the last 20 years, that's nothing.
That's literally the
that's average.
That's the average time of game, I think, last year, right around there.
The last couple of years, it's been around like 308 has been like the league average.
That's crazy.
312 is an NFL game. That's how long an NFL game takes.
Yeah, there you go. Baseball wins again. So how do you – I'm just going to ask you guys. It's sort of like the – what is it? It's the third poll. It's the third way through the season now. That's what you have. You have a third way through the season. So – we've talked a lot about the Red Sox defining themselves and how, so now that you've come out of the Bruins and Celtics officially, and you're now in this gap between Bruins and Celtics ending and Patriots beginning, the Red Sox, the hope was that the Red Sox would define themselves and define themselves for the fans of Boston sports, say, are they worthy of following or not? Coop, I'll start with you. How do you view the Boston Red Sox as we sit here with the only game in town?
How do I view them? A science experiment. I think like that's like the best way to view them. And if you're a nerd like myself, science experiments are fun. There's something to pay attention to. You're not really like, you shouldn't have a full expectation of what to come from it, because your expectation is learning from it. So that's why this year it's a development year. It's a bridge year. It's trying to figure out what this team is doing, and they're winning while they're doing it. That's a reason to tune in for it, because unlike, you know, last night losing, you know, two in a row now, both to teams that you should be beating, Arizona and Cincinnati. Cincinnati, you should be pulverizing. But you're still putting like an entertaining game at the very end of that. They still made it close. They still made it fun. And you're seeing guys that going into the season, you had a whole lot of bigwigs around Boston and in the media saying, who are these guys? What should we expect from them? Not a whole lot. And they're producing. Tapia is becoming one of my favorite players to watch on this Red Sox team, and for good reason, because he comes through in like interesting, but he comes through in like interesting moments. And that's kind of what you need in a season like this, where you don't have, like, you have Devers to bring you in. You kind of have Chris Sale as a big name to bring you in, but you're unsure of Cassis. You're unsure of guys like Verdugo still, even though you shouldn't be unsure of guys like Verdugo. So if you're a casual fan, these are guys that should be bringing you in now, because you want to see what they're able to do going ahead for the franchise.
Well put.
Thank you.
Gordo, what do you got?
Here's what I got, because I was reading some discourse on Celtics Twitter last night, and there were some people who were talking about how it's frustrating being a fan of a team who is title or bust, because you literally have to get to the pinnacle of the sport or it's a failure and you're upset and everything sucks. With this Red Sox team, it's not that. What you're experiencing is, when you watch this team, is it's the climb. You're watching guys like Brian Bello and Tristan Casas and Jaren Duran go through growing pains. You watch the ups and the downs of those types of guys. You see guys who are maybe stopgaps to the future, and then you see guys who are big parts of the future, like Rafael Devers. It's a road. It's a chapter in the story of the next title Red Sox team, which hopefully will include some of these guys. Like, you're not watching this team hoping for a World Series championship. You're watching this team hoping to see growth from important parts of the future of the team, and you're hoping that they can win in the process, as Coop said. In the end, like, this is a really hot and cold team, because young, inexperienced guys go through, you know, a lot of ups and downs. And you just, you know, as it pertains to this year, you're just going to hope that they have a few more ups than they do downs, and they get to the mid to upper 80s in wins and knock on the door of a playoff spot and hopefully get in. But even if they don't, you know, the real hope is that you see growth both, you know, at the major league level and the minor league level. If you dig deep into this team and, you know, follow the individual stories of these guys, it's an interesting watch. You know, it's the only game in town all summer. As a baseball nut, like, obviously I'm going to watch, but I think even, you know, for, you know, casuals, it can be a fun watch. They're a fun, resilient team, and you just got to take it for what it's worth.
It's funny. Would you be saying that if they didn't score a run tonight? I'm just curious. And both well put. And I feel the passion and the sincerity with both of you. But say they get beat 8-0, right, tonight, which they were almost. Instead, they get beat 8-7. And is there that feeling of, oh man, that just sucked. And then you're coming off a loss, and that just sucked. I mean, I don't know. Because
I think I would still be saying that sucked. But I think I would probably maybe be doing a bit of the Sam Kennedy spin on it, where I'm saying, oh, well, hey, Brian Bello didn't have his stuff today, but that's why we tune in, because we're not really sure about his development. And he's part of that science experiment I was talking about, where you want to see these guys do good, but you're not sure what you're going to get out of them.
That's Sam Kennedy.
That's what he would do.
And you forgot to say, that's a good question.
That's a great question. Thank you for asking that. We talk about this all the time. And, you know, it's a conversation that I have with Haim on the daily.
It's pretty very good, Coop.
You've listened. Me and Sam Kennedy, we're cut from the same cloth.
There you go. You have the Kennedy hair. So there you go. I don't know what that is.
Do you think he's in the family heritage
of the Kennedys? The royal Kennedys? No.
The royal Kennedys.
No.
The royals?
No.
The royal Kennedys.
No. So what were you going to say, Gordo? What was your answer?
My answer is, yeah, it's a tough question. I definitely wouldn't have included the line at the end about them being resilient if they had lost 8-0 today to the Cincinnati Reds. But no, everything I say stands, even if they don't come back. I don't know how enthusiastic I would have been about it, but all of it's still true, even if this were 8-0. I don't know how enthusiastic I'd have been about it, but I'd like to think I would have still said it.
I think that, you know, I'm probably going to err on the side of of you know, a little bit more negative, you know, because like I'm rooting for time of game and getting through the season, and you know, I don't know, a little bit of what I like to think is a reality of the here and the now instead of what might be, because I've seen so many times where what might be is never is. But you guys both have good points. And I think for this team, the way that I look at it is that they're good enough to suggest that you might make September interesting. And I think that that goes a long way. It's different than, and it's different now because of the playoff, a lot of teams make the playoffs, but it's different than the NBA and NHL, and especially the teams that we just had where they rolled through the regular seasons. It was anticlimactic. Like, this is one of the things that's great, even in the heart of football season, is that we just want it to be interesting in September. There's something about chasing something heading into October, because once you get to October, let's be honest, it's in the way that the playoffs is set up, you can be a much better team than the Red Sox and have this same, get the playoffs and get bounced by just as quickly as the Red Sox. What we should be hoping for with this team is the ability and the opportunity to have that anticipation heading into October, which we've seen what it's like when it's not, right? Like last year, and we're leaning on things like, you know, Kevin Plawecki or Tristan Cassis or whatever it is. But I think that this team has shown that it can be good enough that they can enter into that conversation, but they have to be better. I mean, that's the other part about this, is that they have to be better. They cannot lose series to teams like the Cincinnati Reds. They cannot lose series to some of these teams like they've lost to. I have no problem with them losing to Merrill Kelly in the Diamondbacks in that last game. He's a really good pitcher, and you just weren't hitting the ball. The best thing to take away from this game, the most recent game, is the fact that they ended up scoring 7 runs. So
they needed it.
They did. Yeah. They did. That's what we can't forget, that they have been in a rut for whatever reason, and they needed to score more runs, because scoring runs is good. Science.
Yeah.
Do you think that, not to cut you off there, Gordo.
You're good.
Do you think, like, when teams are able to score something like that at the end of a game, that they're able to kind of like piggyback that into the next day? Like, can people look towards today's game and be like, the Red Sox might be able to steal something because their offense figured something out at like the last minute of last night's game?
Just the mentality.
I think
anything can galvanize you.
Well, because look, with a little
Gordo's fired up.
Come on,
Gordo.
These guys trick them, so they're athletes. They trick themselves into anything.
I'm gonna give you a stool that you can stand on and give the Rudy on the stool speech, like I said. Like I said to Torrey Lovello, you're gonna give the Rudy on the stool speech. You're gonna hit him high. You're gonna hit him low. So there you go.
Bring Gordo into the clubhouse tomorrow, looking like Smalls, just like this.
You want to see, by the way, how fired up Kenley Jansen was about the Celtics game? It was nutty. It was like he was getting up. He was simulating, like posting up. He was so offended. He was so offended by the way that the Celtics. No, not that they lost, but by the way the Celtics approached the Miami Heat, as he said, a 3-2 zone. I don't think it was a 3-2 zone, but the Miami Heat zone. Like, he was so offended by this. He said he left early, not because of traffic, but because he was so offended about how they approached the zone.
Wow.
And he's standing up and simulating, what you got to do is post up. And
has there been scuttlebutt in the clubhouse amongst the players? Is like, you know, like everyone around town is saying, like, who's the bigger failure, the Bruins or the Celtics? Is there a discussion within the clubhouse about that?
No. From the players?
Yeah. Who's the bigger failure? Like, Bruins or the Celtics? Did they just take a ton of weight off of us?
They just looked at it as, this is an opportunity to go out in the town and have, you know, go to the TD Garden and be part of the cool scene. I mean,
and they went to both game sevens and
they did went to both. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so, but you know, no, they're all about them, their own situation, but it's an interesting to follow up on what you're talking about with the runs. I think that what can happen is that when you don't score runs, it starts getting in your head. What was interesting to me was when they were shut down in Anaheim and get swept, they kept saying about how, and it gets, you know, it's bad when it gets to the point where the person requested after the game is the hitting coach to talk to. That's never usually a good thing. So Pete Fatsy was saying how that other teams have adjusted, and we're like, oh, how did you adjust? And they insinuated that if you just throw breaking balls against the Red Sox, you're going to be okay. And that is true. Go look it up. Go look up Yoshida's numbers against breaking balls. They're not good.
Not pretty.
Not pretty. No. And so, but my point is that if you don't hit, if you continue not to hit, then you start chasing, then you start doing things that then you start pressing more and more and more. So the fact that they did hit tonight, it took them forever to do it. At least they can come in and say, okay, you know what? I saw Yoshida do this. I saw Duran do that. I saw, you know, Turner do this. I do, you know, go down the list. So, and we scored at the end of the day, we scored 7 runs. I don't know if it'll translate. And the other part about this, you're facing good pitching, man. Like maybe not in game two of this series, but game three, good luck. You know,
that's good a luck. Fun at bat. It's a fun at bat.
Yeah.
102 right at your chin.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, so I don't know. I mean, I just think that this team, why we're sort of going on this up and down journey in waiting for Duvall to come back and waiting for Trevor Story to come back. It's a dangerous thing because if you get in a rut and you keep losing games like to the Reds, and knowing that the Rays are the team, and you guys know this, the Rays are the team that have buried teams this year. When I say that, I mean, look at what they do in terms of painting the picture for team seasons. Early on, painted the picture of the Red Sox. That was the low point for the Red Sox. Buried the White Sox. Buried the Pirates. I mean, they actually, like, they handled the Dodgers. Like, you if you lose this series to the Reds and have to go into the Rays, that's not good. And you can't, and you can say all you want about being early June, but you can't keep just saying, oh, no, just wait. Duvall's coming or Trevor Story's coming. I don't know if you guys agree or not, but.
No, I very much agree with that. This is a pretty significant point. And I know they've got some easy competition coming up after the Rays, but if you lose like 2 out of 3 to the Reds and then say drop all 4 against the Rays, and that's coming off dropping the last one against the Diamondbacks, like that's a significant losing stretch. Like you got to take both the next 2 against the Rays or against the Reds and then do your best against the Rays. Like hopefully you can split it. But
I think the dangerous thing is, guys, is this idea that it will figure itself out. It comes back to sort of how we started this whole thing. How would you define this team? Right. But you can't just say, oh, it will figure itself out. It's don't worry. We'll get this guy coming and that guy coming, this guy coming. You kind of got to figure out what you are and what you have. And Chris Sale, you kind of feel, you know what you are and what you have. Right. So who are the other, we know what we are and what we have guys on this team? That's what I would ask.
Hauk, I think, is teetering on that.
I don't know about Hauk.
I don't know. Like in terms of starting pitching, like I don't know if anyone else besides Sale is there. Like Paxton coming off a not good start. Bayo, like very up and down. Whitlock, you know, had a good start, but it's one start and we've seen him, 4 times and it's been up and down. Hauk coming off. I mean, it's a weird start because he let in 4 in the first and then he settled in, but like, Hauk is pretty up and down. You've got some guys in the bullpen. You kind of feel like you know what you got.
Can I give you my list of, we know you young man are, I know what you are and what you are, or what I know what you are and what we have guy, right? That's a hard thing to put on a t-shirt, but they could wear it around.
That was a little Shakespearean for me.
A little Shakespearean. All right. I'll go with, this might turn in a hurry, but as we sit here, I'll go with Chris Sale. I'll go with Josh Winkowski. Yeah. I'll go with Cutter Crawford. I'm going to go with Chris Martin. I'm going to go half of Kenley. Can I do that?
Which half of him?
half, like, I almost feel that way.
I feel like if Kelly puts together
which half of his body?
I don't know.
His bottom half.
Definitely the legs.
I would say bottom. That's where a lot of his velocity is coming from. I would
anyone
say
who could
half.
Stand on one leg like that.
Okay.
For its life. I'll go with Kenley. So I have Sale. I have Winkowski. I have Cutter Crawford. I have Martin. And I have Kenley. And then offensively, I don't know if Verdugo's going to be an all-star, but I think that he's a good player. I think that this version of Verdugo is a good player. So I'll go with him. Yoshida, to me, two up and down. I'm still trying to figure out what he is. Like, the thing about forgetting the outs tonight, that drove me nuts.
That was crazy. But he was the one guy who kept hitting.
Right. Like, he's going to hit, but I just think that it's going to be a streaky thing with him. So I can't say I know what he is or what he is. A lot of ground balls. I guess Devers, but I can't even say Devers right now. Like, this doesn't look like the Devers that I know. The man that I know, Rafael Devers.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Turner, yes, I'll go with him. I like Justin Turner as a player. Do I think that he's going to end up with the numbers of JD Martinez? Probably not, but I like Justin Turner as an all-around good player. Who else?
You're talking about know what you have. Maybe you could fit Connor Wong into that, just in terms of
I don't know that.
With
I know
the
what
bat,
I,
it's like whatever, but like defense, yeah. I feel like that's gonna stick if you want to go that route. But
yeah,
now we're
I
getting
guess,
like into
I'll,
the weeds.
I'll lump the two catchers together. You kind of know what you have, what you are, and what you have, which is a serviceable sort of combination of catching abilities. There
quality
you go.
Small ball with McGuire. Oh, you know you have that.
Best bunter in the major leagues.
Yeah, so he really might be.
I'm telling you.
I think he is.
I tell you, like,
who else bunts? Was, no one bunts.
This was his reputation. Like, the minute when he got traded, someone texted me, said, he's a great bunter. I'm like, that's it? Like, and then, but then you watch him, and he is a great bunter.
But he is. You don't understand.
You can't deny it.
Tremendous bunter.
He's a tremendous. This is where the All-Star game is just selling us short, because there should be, forget about the home run derby, there should be a bunter competition in the All-Star.
Like the
where do they do that?
It's a
they
clip
do that
goes
somewhere.
Viral every All-Star break from it's from I think a Japanese league or a Korean league.
Yeah.
Where every they year. Have like the bullseye set up and you just bunt into it. I would love that. That's all I need.
Can we do that? I'm going to ask him that tomorrow.
Like, Joe Kelly's got the hookup to Rob Manfred.
I know.
Like like 2 degrees of separation.
It really is.
Get in his ear.
There's nothing that we can't get done. Robot umps, you know, everything. There's nothing that we can't done get done. By the way, Coop, were you on the podcast with Joey Votto, the Garrett Whitlock one?
Yes.
So I talked to him again today.
How is he?
It was a wild ride.
Yeah, it was same. I don't want to say demeanor, but same attitude.
No, same affect. Yeah, same. Like he's testing you.
Yeah,
he's testing.
Oh, I love him.
He's I can't be. I mean, you have to listen, but it was.
I will. I'll tune in. Votto episode was one of my favorites.
Yeah. So it was. It wasn't nearly as long, but it was. It was like I basically said, you know how I ask everybody, say, hey, you know, why isn't baseball boring? I literally said, hey, I just want to talk to you about why baseball. Do you think that baseball is being perceived as fun and not boring? It's like, who thought it was boring? I was like, I don't know. It's like, no one thinks it's boring. I'm like, well, football fans and basketball fans, maybe. No. And then he went on for 5 minutes articulating every possible thing you could think about in his own way. And I said, well,
I love his brain.
I said, Justin Turner's right over there. And he's fielding ground balls with a baseballs and boring t-shirt. He's like, is that yours? I said, yeah. He's like, yeah, so he's doing you a favor. I don't think he needs to wear a t-shirt to say that. I'm like, in the middle of the interview, I literally was like, I feel like everything I ask you or say to you, you're like, you're testing me.
Yeah.
And you saw Coop. You saw, I mean, that's he was doing that before. We were talking about chess.
I think he like goes home every night and he kind of like goes through all those conversations and he's kind of like, yeah, that was pretty funny.
And then he says,
in his head, he has to be laughing.
And you can see it's a whole thing. But at the end of it, you know, I say, hey, do you want a t-shirt? No, thanks.
Yeah. Okay. Why would I need a t-shirt, Rob?
Stacey obvious.
I have plenty of great t-shirts. Why would I need an extra one?
That's so silly.
That'd be him.
Anyway, has
he connected with, not to spoil anything or if you ask the question, but did he end up connecting with Whitlock for playing any chess?
No, I don't think so. It's funny because this is one of the things is that you can't ask him things. Like I introduced the chess thing and it was clearly he had no, he's like, yeah, I kind of play like I'm really concentrating on baseball, whatever. Okay. And then you talked about like, oh, well, you're a guy who likes to have fun. I come to work. This is work.
Would you say he's the Kevin Durant of baseball?
No, he's much more unique in his answers than Kevin Durant, I think.
Kevin Durant's kind of got a little bit of that in him, though, like where it's kind of like questioning authority.
I feel like that's just on Twitter, though. Like, I feel like he just doesn't.
Well, I feel like, and I might be wrong, but I felt like, and Coop, you got a sense of this last time. I feel like he's almost testing you. You know?
Yeah, that's what I kind of feel like. Or like Bill Belichick doesn't do this, but like, I would feel like if you started talking to Joey Votto about like baseball history and you have seen him open up about this, and when you did start talking to him about like things that interested him in that episode, he would really like nerd out about stuff,
right?
And like, right, you could get him talking.
Well, I think,
but like so, otherwise, yeah, like I think he's testing you in order to get to that part of the conversation.
Well, so my thing was, I just want to, and we've talked about other people about this, about, hey, do you think that guys are freer to show themselves, their emotions, their personalities and everything else? Like it's a conversation we've had with tens and tens of people, and usually it leads to a good conversation. But for a guy who is the epitome of this, it was a tough nut to crack, but not in a non-entertaining way, not in a just like, no.
It's not like a sense of where it's like, oh, this is awkward, he doesn't want to be here. It's more of just like, oh, this is like kind of like,
Yeah, I think it's fun at back the end you want to be there. But I think it's sort of like I remember from that previous one when I asked him, said, oh, well, you know, like chess, it's like baseball, you know, which is an obvious thing, right?
Yeah.
Maneuver. And remember what he said. He's like, no.
No.
Yeah.
It's like checkers. No. Like checkers. No, it's a stupid question. He didn't say that, but it's like that's what he was thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I would love to crawl inside the brain of Joey Votto. But that's another story completely. So am I missing anybody in the what we know, what we have guys?
I would say that's just about everyone. I mean, there's one guy on the paternity list that you did miss. I don't know if you yeah. want to.
Do you know what you got in Kluber?
Yeah.
I bet what we know, what we have in like a productive
in a good way. You know, I guess you know Rob Refsnyder's going to hit lefties. I don't know.
That's a good one. A good one. I like that. I really don't. That's the problem.
We know what we know.
Dot, dot, dot. Yet.
You know Kike is good for a two-error game every
2023 Red Sox today, colon. We know what we know, dot, 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 and we don't know much.
Yeah. It's just, and I think that's why like this next third of the season will be so important because it's the summer months. It's going to be the dog days. This is when you really start at this point last year. This is when you started to see guys go down with injuries and when like the wheels started to fall off. The wheels haven't fallen off yet. It's not like this, it's like a bottomed out team. They're still a competitive team. They're still ending up on some power ranking lists.
I was surprised about that.
Yeah, I was too.
Were you surprised about that? I was surprised to see them in like the ninth.
I would not put them in the top
10. I wouldn't either, but MLB had them slated at 9, I think. I saw.
Yeah.
But like it's just like this is the opportunity where the season can either take like a dramatic turn for the worse or for the better. And I really don't like that's the thing. Like after this first third, I don't think anyone really knows how this next third will turn out.
There's an issue with it too, and it's that you can't teeter the line of 500 or even like a few games above 500. Like you have to make a run, especially after the Rays when the competition gets a little bit easier. I mean, right now the third wild card spot is the Yankees, and they're 10 games above 500, and that's the third wild card spot.
Right, and I think that's what people are missing the boat on. I think
they're
not really understanding that why you're going for this ride. These other teams are starting to define themselves, and as I pointed out the other day, that it was at the 50 game mark where the Red Sox caught fire. They win 7 in a row, 17-4 the next 21, and got right back into it. But the thing was, is that they were playing like teams that weren't that good. And we sort of found that out later. When you had to play Toronto, you got waxed.
Yep.
When you had to play the Yankees, you got waxed. And so
Rays too.
Rays. I mean, and it comes back to, you know, this weekend. I mean, you can't, it's a daunting thing. I mean, how many series have the Rays lost this year? One?
Yeah, one.
One.
I'm so just thinking back to was it Baltimore? Baltimore was the one series they lost, right?
Did they lose that series to Baltimore? Yeah. Anyway, so that's a problem. That's an issue. But I don't know like where else to go with this, guys. I mean, like it's. I think that as we sit here, they're coming off a game against the Cincinnati Reds, which they tried real hard, gritty, gutty effort, but fell short and lost a game to the Cincinnati Reds. And now, like I said, it might not seem like a big deal, but you have to do something heading into that series against the Rays because history would suggest that you're not going to win that series against the Rays. And if you do, great. Then the narrative is completely changed. That's great.
The Rays lost.
They also lost to the New York Mets.
The Mets.
Yeah.
Okay. And they've already lost the series they're currently in. They just dropped their first two against the Cubs, who I'm pretty sure, I don't know if they still
did. Did they really?
They haven't hit. They lost 1-0 yesterday and 2-1 today.
Well, here's the interesting thing about the Rays. They've played a crap load of games at home. Like a ton of games at home. So, in which they've been very good at home, but you know, I don't look at the Rays as a team where you say, "Oh, there's no doubt about it. They're going to get to the playoffs and they're going to cruise to the playoffs." I don't look at that team that way because somebody's going to break down. And yeah, so
they already have. Come on, the starting pitching.
Just get to the tournament. Get to the tournament.
Yep. Punch the ticket.
Coop Deswell wants to go to bed.
I'm so tired. That was such a long game.
I know. Are you going to Fenway, Coop, this week?
Tomorrow or today, I should be there.
Okay.
I believe.
I'll be there too.
Oh, ooh. You will?
Oh, we're going to have a full house?
What a treat. There you go. Why don't you come up to the broadcast booth, Coop? I mean, Gordo.
I'll be out there.
All right. Well, there you go.
I'll be there early too. It's bobblehead night. Got to get in there and get the...
What bobblehead night is it?
It's the 2013.
Oh.
It's like David Ross holding Koji, even though it's nothing like Koji.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to steal one.
By the way, big student nine night tonight. Big student nine
night. Did they stay for the whole game?
I don't know. Kobe Bradford, I don't even have confirmation if he did or not. But it's but I could tell the people sifting in. Big student nine night.
Big student nines. It's officially summer then.
It's officially summer.
It's officially summer at Fenway Park.
A series.
We have the migration of students.
Series against the Reds. So
do a David Attenberg documentary about this.
There you go. Do you guys have any questions about the road trip? Because I'm an expert. I spent 11 days on the road.
Yeah, that was it was late. Do they enjoy playing that late? Because I don't enjoy playing that late.
I think you lose track of how late it is.
Devers has family on the West Coast?
I don't know.
Does he?
No, I have no idea.
That was a weird situation.
What did you read on that?
He had the day off, and then he posted on Instagram his family, and then I believe Cora in the pregame had made... He made some mention of it to Will Fleming, which, by the way, tune into the WEI pregame shows for your conversation with the manager before each game. but it is good insight. Like Alex does talk to Joe. He talks to Rob. He talks to Joe. Will sometime. You never got to talk to him?
No.
Never?
No.
You just do the players? The players love you. That's why.
No.
But he was talking to Will about it, and he was just saying that, you know, they, on that West Coast trip, they had to be cognizant of giving guys their time, especially with family members.
Well, it was funny because Kenley's, by the way, best quote on the team, not even close. And so he was talking about his house because in LA, because he stayed there during the Angel series. And he was like, where's your house? Like, he's talking about how nice his house is, all the things that he has in his house. I'm like, prove it. Well, I was like, okay, well, so he gives his address so we can look it up on Redfin. And there it is, this monstrosity of a house. I said, could you tell me how much money that you would make if you sold your house right now compared to when you bought it? And could you guess how much money he would make?
Like a full liquidation?
When did he buy it?
Yeah, so what it's worth now compared to what he bought it for.
Do you know when he bought it?
Yeah, what did he buy it for?
It has the exact date he bought it. So he bought it in December 2017.
Okay, but how much was it?
His house, okay, so he bought it for 6 point something.
6 point something. How much is it worth now? I'm going to say it's probably depreciated in value it's probably gone up in value because the market sucks.
I'm going to say real estate over that period of time is a pretty safe bet to appreciate.
It's just over eight now.
Yeah, mid eight. I know real estate. What's up?
Yeah, what's up? You know houses with hyperbaric chambers.
He has a hyperbaric chamber. He's like Joe Rogan.
Oh, he has hyperbaric. Oh. Yeah, and it's like we were like, well, why don't you know, like, can we stay over? Like, can we, like, it's
can we bring the Who Says No gang too?
Who Says No? We sleep over.
I feel like if we play our cards right, the Who Says No gang could hang out in Kenley Jansen's house next year.
I bet Kenley's a fun hang.
Oh, he's
great. I'll consider it. I'll consider coming. I'll think about it.
All right.
Thanks for the invite, Kenley. But tell I'll Kenley have to I'm see a baby. What my schedule's like that day. Thanks.
Tell Kenley he can send over his resume and all.
And then as I told the story on the Greg Hill show, we were shamed into the back of the restaurant in Scottsdale, where we were asked to sit out front. And they said, oh, no, there's a half hour waiting, even though no one was there. And then they put us in the way, way back. It was clear because they did not want us as the forward facing party of that restaurant.
It's like in Curb. They did that in Curb Your Enthusiasm. They have the ugly side and the good looking side.
I didn't think that was a thing. And this was absolutely the case.
That's crazy.
It was me, Will Fleming, Alex Speer, cameraman Steve DeSilva and Nesson, and then Jemai showed up, and I felt like Jemai might be able to get us a little closer. But it was because Scottsdale, I've never seen so many bachelorette parties. It was like the Nashville of Arizona.
Is that the new destination? It went from Nashville to Austin.
To Scottsdale. And I guess
it's now Scottsdale.
I've never seen, like, it's just a wave of them. But evidently they didn't want us hanging out there. Man. In front.
Yeah. Disrespect to my guy, Jemai.
Well, he wasn't there. I mean, he should have.
Oh, okay. So you think if Jemai was there from the start,
we would have had a better chance.
If he was there in his Baseball Isn't Boring shirt, they would have been like, this man is way too handsome to be sitting in the back.
I think if you guys had the shirts, they're sitting you out front.
Yeah. That was the issue.
I think it's just the opposite, but that's okay. I'm secure in my own sexiness. So there you go.
Quote it. Put that on a shirt.
Put that in the baseball stitching lettering. Secure in my sexiness.
There you go. Now, is Justin Turner going to take every ground ball, every batting practice in his Baseball Isn't Boring shirt? Who knows? Because he did it today.
How do you
hit? For his last one.
Well, I felt like they scored 7 runs. Every time he's done it, they scored at least 7 runs. So okay. There you go.
Is he washing it every time?
Come on. This isn't a frat house. This is a big leagues. All right, guys. So thanks for staying up so late. Appreciate you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.